You're listening to Financial Insights, a podcast that helps investors through the difficult maze of financial planning and saving for retirement. I'm Brian Ullman, and I'm a financial advisor and certified financial planner at Ford Financial Group. And together with some guests and other advisors at my firm, we're talking about the issues and questions relating to finance that face our clients every day. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Posting this a little bit later on Monday than we usually do, because there's a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of stuff going on late last week and some stuff going on over the weekend, quite frankly. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you watched the Super Bowl and know that Tom Brady won another Super Bowl. And this is usually where financial podcasts jump in and say, let's look at a bunch of historical stats about what happens to markets when the National Football League or the NFC or National League beats the American League. We're not going to do that today. Tom Brady won. He's won before. He's won in the past. It has absolutely no effect on markets. And so no matter what these stats say, one, it's coincidental, right? Whether Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl or whether one team beats another team from a different league has literally no impact on how stocks do. So we are going to ignore that entirely today. Instead, stick with some of the financial stuff and kind of just get down to business. So let's start there. And let's start by talking about how markets did last week, because it was a very good week. In fact, stocks really reversed course from the prior week. The prior week, with all the GameStop nonsense, markets were down pretty well across the board. And last week, ending February 5th, the major market indexes really finished the week in the green with all of the averages solidly higher. The Russell 2000 small cap index, which has really been a bright spot in recent months, continues to lead all major markets with a more than 7% return for just that week. And both the international and emerging market indices had great weeks as well. And there's an old saying on Wall Street that goes, as goes January, so goes the year. And it implies that a weak January could bring trouble over the rest of the year. And the fact that the S&P 500 index fell over 1% in January, I suppose, opens the door to some potential weakness for the remaining 11 months of the year. But in fact, when January's been lower, the final 11 months of the year have been higher 61% of the time, compared with gains of 89% of the time when January is higher. We mentioned this in our blog, which you can find at fordfg.com/blog. But just because January was a down month for the S&P 500 doesn't mean we automatically toss out the remaining 11 months. Generally, the returns ultimately can be lower, or the likelihood of having a positive year goes down, but it's still better than even. And I think that's the important thing that we need to recognize here. Let's talk a little bit about earnings season, because earnings season for the fourth quarter is still going on. And so far, I would say the earnings season is even impressing the optimists. The S&P 500 index earnings growth for the fourth quarter is tracking nearly 2% above year ago levels on more than 11 percentage points of upside. So the S&P 500 revenue is on track to grow nearly 3% year over year on roughly 2.5 percentage points of upside. And the forward 12-month estimates have increased by an unusually strong 3.6% since January 1st. In fact, LPL Research has raised their 2021 forecast for S&P 500 earnings per share from $165 a share to $170 a share. And they actually believe that higher earnings expectations support further gains for stocks in 2021. So all signs are good right now as we look forward with earnings season. You know, we are invested in companies because we think they're going to grow, and earnings season and earnings reports help us understand where these companies are in our expectations for growth. And right now, the S&P 500 earnings index is beating expectations like a drum. Let's just also talk briefly about COVID-19 news. The U.S. reported 96,000 new COVID cases over the weekend. This is the first day below 10,000 since November 3rd, 2020. And new cases also extended their streak of consecutive week-over-week declines to 27 consecutive weeks. So we are absolutely moving in the right direction as far as COVID is concerned. So even though we had a bit of a rough January, and some of that can actually be blamed on the GameStop kind of wildness that finished out January, but things are looking strong as we get more deeply into February. Another thing I want to address here as we get into the February is the fact that we had the jobs report last Friday. It's the first Friday of the month. We get the jobs report from the following month. And the U.S. job market is really seeking a shot in the arm. U.S. payrolls grew month over month in January following a brief dip into negative territory in December. But if we look under the hood, you'll see that the report did little to dispel the notion that the labor market's recovery has really been stalling out, and it likely bolsters calls for additional fiscal stimulus. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics released its monthly economic report on Friday morning, and that revealed that the domestic economy added 49,000 jobs in January. That actually falls short of the Bloomberg Survey economist forecast for a little bit more than 105,000 gain. Large negative revisions to the December number, as well as January's large seasonality adjustments, really cast this positive headline number in a much more nebulous kind of light. The unemployment rate notably fell to 6.3% from 6.7%, but that was paired with a labor force participation rate that declined to 61.4% from 61.5%. So what we're talking about here is the unemployment rate measures people who are looking for a job. And in this case, and one of the reasons it fell from 6.7 to 6.3 is because people have maybe stopped looking for jobs. And that's one of the reasons why that can go down. Also noteworthy here is that average hourly earnings rose 0.2% month over month and 5.4% year over year, signaling lower wage workers have borne the brunt of job losses. And I don't think that's any major headline here. We kind of understand that. One cohort of the labor market being disproportionately affected distorts those figures and actually reduces their usefulness as a gauge of whether inflation could begin to creep up into the picture. In fact, recently, the Economic Cost Index was released and adjusts for these distortions and showed that the fourth quarter growth of 0.7% quarter over quarter and 2.5% year over year. This is actually below the cycle peak of 3.2% year over year and doesn't really present a threat, I think, in the eyes of LPL research. One of the things we are seeing as it relates to jobs, though, is that the jobs recovery is actually plateaued in just under the 143 million payroll level in the last 4 months. And this follows an initial sharp recovery off of April's bottoms. And I'll link the chart demonstrating this in the show notes. But we had an initial sharp recovery off of April's bottom. And it shouldn't come as any surprise that the tapering off has kind of coincided with rising case COVID case counts and colder weather. So we remain about 9.9 million jobs short of the February 2020 peak of 152.5 million. And the composition of January's report really follows the trends that are really all too familiar from previous COVID-19 spikes, where you see the dichotomy between jobs that can be done at home and jobs that can't. And retail jobs, for example, lost 37,800 jobs, while the leisure and hospitality industry lost 61,000 jobs. And these are two of the segments that have been hit the hardest through the pandemic. Meanwhile, on the flip side, professional and business services added 97,000 jobs and government jobs increased by 43,000. It's really starting to look more and more like there's a need for fiscal stimulus to get us through the other side of this economic soft patch. And as the pace of vaccinations pick up, I think it's reasonable to be hopeful that the job market can start to benefit a little bit from some sustainable economic growth. And then we'd see some upside in some of those areas like retail, leisure, and hospitality that have been absolutely steamrolled by COVID and the shutdowns that have accompanied it. Now, earlier last week, an important milestone actually made headlines across the country as the total number of vaccinations administered actually surpassed the total number of COVID-19 cases, which is amazing. Boots on the ground are becoming increasingly efficient at distributing the vaccine, and positive trial data boosted hope that a third vaccine might soon be available for emergency use. We're talking about the Johnson & Johnson one there. Now, obviously, as a larger proportion of the population receives their vaccines, the economy can kind of pick up steam, and hiring and harder hit service jobs can actually resume. We're already seeing some signs of it. The jobs report window cuts off at the week containing the 12th of the month, but initial claims for unemployment data improved notably in the second half of January. And if the improvement in layoffs were also reflected in hiring, we would expect that to show in the February jobs report. So we might be a little slightly early in our optimism, but when you pair the warmer weather on the horizon, vaccination progress, I think there's some hope that we're going to pretty soon get a breakthrough in this near-term ceiling in U.S. total payrolls. And I can just tell you on a micro level, I actually helped to volunteer at our local hospital, one of the local hospitals here, in administering vaccines to seniors. And early on, it was a little bit rocky. It wasn't smooth the way we were able to get vaccines to people. But as time went on, even just by minutes and hours going from the first hour or two of trying to administer vaccines to people versus where we were much later in the day, we became much more efficient and were able to get many more shots in arms. And so there's something to be said here where we're going to pick up steam. And even though it feels like we're so close, it's important to remain patient, because we will get on the other side of this COVID mess, and this COVID-induced recession will be followed by a COVID-induced recovery, as I've said many times before. So keep that in mind as we look forward on jobs and on markets. So I hope this helps provide a little bit of perspective on what's going on. Markets are racing ahead. I guess it maybe isn't as much of a surprise because markets are forward-looking. The jobs report from January, even though we lowered the unemployment rate, it wasn't all roses, but based on where we kind of cut things off for this jobs report, it's yet to be seen if it's as bad as it may have looked as we sliced the bologna a little thinner on the jobs report for January. So keep an eye on the first week of March, where we'll get the jobs report in February. We'll be done with the earnings season that I talked about a little bit earlier, and we'll have probably a clearer picture in March of where we actually stand as a country on COVID, where markets stand in terms of corporate earnings, and where this recession stands in terms of the recovery and vaccination rates. So if you have any questions, feel free to email us at info@fordfg.com. You can find us on the web, fordfg.com. My name is Brian Ullman. I look forward to talking to you in the next one.
The advisors with Ford Financial Group are registered representatives with and securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advice is offered through Ford Financial Group, a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. The opinions voiced in this material are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Stock investing involves risk, including loss of principal. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. The economic forecasts set forth in this podcast may not develop as predicted. Ford Financial Group and LPL Financial do not provide tax or legal advice or services. This information is not intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security referred to herein.